It's time for our Sunday school to get started this morning. If you're in the Grand Atrium, please come in and have a seat. We'll go ahead and get started and have some prayer requests. So if you're out in the foyer or the grand atrium, some people call it, come on in and we'll get started. You should have gotten a sheet. The men should have given you one of these sheets that, for prayer requests. And I know that we do have some folks that we need to pray for this morning. So if you have those, the pastor's not here. He's away. We have a great pastor. He's in demand. He's a man of God that's being greatly used by God. And that's why he's in so demand by other folks. They know that he's a great pastor. So we'll sort of do like the pastor does when he starts out. Does anybody over in this section have prayer requests that they'd like to make known right now in this far left section? Yes, Lisa. Your dad? Okay. I don't know if you heard that, but we need to remember Lisa's dad. Anybody else over here? How about this section right here? The next section over. Gary? Okay. We need to remember the Speaks family and Gary's family. There's two prayer requests made. Yes, Nina? Okay, the Settle family? Okay. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Odessa Campbell. We need to remember her. I believe she had maybe surgery yesterday, if I remember correctly. We need to remember her. Anybody else in this section right here? I'm going to go to this section over here. Does anybody have a prayer request? Yes. So Todd's having a procedure tomorrow. Remember Todd Elmore, please. Anybody else here? Dreamer? Family members for salvation. And I think we probably all have those. Anybody else here in this section? How about the... I'm sorry. I missed you, Rose. Okay. Okay. So Rachel's going for a checkup to the doctor tomorrow, and she's just remember her in your prayers. Okay, the far right section. Angie? I'm sorry. I'm unspoken. Okay, I'm sorry. Can't hear. So anybody else in this section? Yes.
Dorothy.
Okay, so your brother is in need of salvation, and he has leukemia. Yes. Okay, Billy speaks. His wife passed away this week, okay? Anybody else over here or in this section? We need to remember. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Horn if you'll lead us to the throne of grace this morning. Remember these requests if you can. Thank you.
We just take it for granted. We thank you, Father, for our help. Think about it when you hear all these other people. We thank you for your watch care over. We pray, Father, now today that you answer the desires of our hearts in relation to these folks that were mentioned. Pray that each one would be comforted by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the comforter. Ask, Father, that you give them a great day today. Pray, Father, that you would bless their families. There are some that have lost loved ones. Pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and be the comforter that they need. Pray now that you give us a good lesson today in Sunday school. Give us ears to hear, the understanding that we may perceive what you have for us today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I don't know if we have any visitors here this morning, but if you are visiting, our pastor's away. And I know that typically Brother Terry Carson would be standing here. He's not feeling... he's a little bit under the weather this morning, and I always enjoy hearing Brother Terry come and open Sunday school. I always get something from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do, we're going to be looking at Psalm 116. The pastor gave me a call Thursday and said that, asked me if I would come and open Sunday school, and I was more than happy to do so. Be quite honest with you, I had a little bit of problem deciding on what to teach on this morning. It's not because I had problems finding it. It's because I had too many things. I've got several messages prepared for the rest of them. And it was just a matter of trying to decide which one. And God always seems to be lead me back to Psalm 116. If you're taking notes and want to outline for Psalm 116, this is really a thanksgiving psalm. It's thanksgiving for deliverance from death or from crisis, from trials. I don't know what you're going through this morning, and everybody's family is a little different. The things that you may be facing could be a lot different than what we're facing. I hope that you'll get comfort and grace from some of these scriptures. And like I said, I don't know what you're going through in life. But I want to read, I don't know if we'll make it through all of this or not, but I want to read, at least start maybe down through the first six verses, and then we'll continue from there. I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplications, because he had inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. And I'm going to stop right there. There's a lot more in here. But if you're taking notes, here's the outline. It's very simple, and this is not my outline, but it's from somebody that I studied under. Verses 1 through 5, God hears. Verses 6 through 14, God helps. And then verses 15 through 19, God is holy. So we have a God that hears us today, hears our prayers. We don't know exactly if David penned this, was the penman here. But it's interesting that the very first thing that the psalmist says here is, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. And if you, I'm going to ask you to turn back to Psalm 18. And we know for a fact in Psalm 18 that David wrote this psalm. And this sort of, it starts out the same way, Psalm 18 does. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. So this sort of, we know for a fact that Psalm 18 was written by David, and he was being pursued by King Saul. You know, the thing interesting about David, he never took revenge. When he had an opportunity in the caves to kill Saul, he didn't. He would not touch the Lord's anointed. He didn't seek revenge. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, let's go back to Psalm 116. And, you know, the psalmist here says, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplication. You know, to love somebody, you have to have a relationship. You don't go up to a stranger on the street and say, I love you, because there's not a relationship there. You actually have to have a relationship with somebody to tell them that you love them. And you know, when you were growing up, I don't know if your family vocally told you that you love them. A lot of families didn't. Like, I know that my mom's generation, they grew up and they never displayed any type of physical affection. They grew up in a large family. And I think she's sort of resented that all of her life. And when we were growing up, she would always tell us that she loved us. And I really appreciated that. So the psalmist here is saying, I love the Lord, and it's because he heard my voice and my supplication. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And sometimes the men get up here and pray, and they say, Lord, I love you. And I just love hearing that. It's because they have a relationship. Being saved means you're in God's family. You're adopted into God's family, and God is your Father. And I was trying to think of some things of what I can be thankful for and why I love the Lord. I would say for what he's done and continues to do in my life, in your life, for his blessings, for meeting my needs. You know, the psalmist said, I've been young, and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I can say that's true in my own life. God has met my needs, and I'm an old man now. And, you know, I've never been without work. And I've been in companies that went bankrupt. I remember being called into a conference room one afternoon, and they said, I've got some bad news. They all gave us these big brown envelopes. It was a layoff package. And we all got those. And then they gave us the spiel about why they were doing it. And then about an hour later, they called me back into the office and said, oh, by the way, we're keeping you. You've got too much knowledge that we don't want to walk out the door. So God has always provided for my needs and for our family's needs. And for that, I'm very thankful. Now, this psalm is a thanksgiving psalm for deliverance from death and crisis. And like I said, I don't know what you're going through in life. Every family has needs. And your family is probably different than ours and what we're facing. Some of the things we've faced in our life you may be going through now. God hears us and answers our prayers, sometimes in ways we did not expect. And I can say in our own family, God answers prayers in ways that were better than what we thought, a way that we didn't expect. And God's way is always perfect. He had heard my voice in supplications, verse 1. Isaiah 59:1 says, this brings me to remembrance, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. There's no problem with God who hears our prayers. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. It's not because God It's not because of God that we cannot be helped. God is willing and able to hear us. What separates us from God is our sin. The communication line's always open. And you know, I always thought about, when I was studying for this lesson, I thought about, reminds me of Elijah on Mount Carmel. When the contest between Baal and Elijah, Elijah is taunting the 450 prophets of Baal. They were praying to Baal, and Elijah's saying, "Well, perhaps Baal is asleep. He cannot hear. He's not paying attention." You know, our God does not sleep, nor is He surprised when things happen. Psalm 121 says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." God's always available. We don't have to make an appointment like we do with man. You know, sometimes God will wake you up in the middle of the night. Have you ever been facing a crisis where you can't sleep? That you found there may be something going on in your family and you don't get the rest that you need. And that's happened to me. And you just go to the Lord and ask Him what you need to do. Or you say, "Lord, I can't solve this. I need your help. I can't see a way out of it." And we're depending on you. Our God's always available. Also, there's another scripture I thought about when studying for this lesson, Jeremiah 32, verses 26 and 27. You don't have to turn there. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And there's not. Anything we go to God with is small to Him. It is. It's small. And Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." That's what grace means. If we got what we deserve, we would all be in hell this morning. But God has extended His grace and His mercy to us. And I'm so thankful for that. Verse 2, "Because He had inclined His ear unto me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live." The psalmist, any other deity, any other thing, my ability, my money, my wealth, I'm going to call upon the Lord. That's what I'm trusting in today, is the Lord finds His ear, and He heals, hears me. I will call upon the Lord as long as... You know, the Bible says that we can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need, to the throne of grace in time of need. And, you know, just imagine that we can go to God, the creator of the universe, whenever we have a need. If you just think about that a little bit, that's really something to think about. We can boldly go into God's presence with our needs. Now, verse 3, the psalmist here says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." The psalmist here is facing a death situation. And have you ever been in a desperate situation? It may not have been a death situation where you're going to die, but nevertheless, it was trouble you faced, and it was bad and dire. It was, you know, is any person immune from having troubles in life? Job 14:1 says, "Man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble." We all have trouble. You know, I don't know what your trouble is today, or the crisis or trial you're going through, and yours may be different than mine. I remember as a young boy, my uncle, who was an old farmer, he got up in church one Sunday morning and asked everybody in the church to go to the altar. You see, there was a neighbor who was in the hospital near death. The doctors had done all they could do for this man, and he was expected to die. Everybody knew him. He was a good man. We lived in a small community, and we all prayed that morning, and that had a big impact on my life. That man today we prayed for today is still living. He's 92 years old. My uncle died that asked prayer for, but it made a big impact on me as a young man. And I think it showed many people in our community that something that my uncle knew. He knew that God hears, that God helps, and God is holy. We had a God that is able to heal if that's what God's will is. Now, verse 4 is the prayer that the psalmist in the death situation prayed. It's a very short prayer. And I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've ever been in a desperate situation. Maybe it was a family problem. I've been there. The psalmist said, "O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." It was a short prayer. It's delivered straight to God. "O Lord," it was deeply felt. "I beseech thee, I implore you, Lord," and directly stating the need, "deliver my soul." Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in that situation? I know that we have in our family. We face some things, and I don't even want to mention, they're so bad. But God was able to do all abundantly, met the need, and was able to come through and deliver us from that trial. And so Charles Spurgeon says of this, "Real troubles produces real prayer. They may not be long and flowering, but you know, if you're having real problems, we need to know who to turn to, and that's the Lord Jesus. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." And in verse 5, we see the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. He is righteous. He is gracious. And He is very kind in supporting and delivering us. The Bible says it is of His mercies that we are not consumed. We do not get justly what we deserve, but God gives us grace and mercy. I don't want justice, because if I had justice, I'd be in hell this morning. I'm glad that God extended His grace to me. And grace simply means that God loved me so much that He was willing to send His Son to come and die for me. And I didn't deserve that. That's what grace is. That's all grace is, God's riches at Christ's expense. And God is merciful and gracious to us. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, Psalm 103 says. Let's keep going. Verse 6, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me." And the verse that I think of when I read this is that James 4:6. "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We can't come to God and think that we had something to do with it. We have to come and say, you know, sometimes we just have to be like the publican in Luke 18. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't do this. This problem's bigger than I can solve. Money's not going to solve it. It's going to take something bigger than that." And I have been there, quite honestly. I've been there, and I've seen God work in a miraculous way. Going back to Luke 18, the Pharisee was there in Luke 18. He says, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And you see, the Pharisee had an eye problem. And the middle letter of sin is I. And that's, we have to get out of the way and realize that it's not about us. It's about God and our dependence upon Him. The publican said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said this in verse 14, "I tell you, this man that went down to his house justified," and He's talking about the publican here rather than the other, "for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." And I'm going to, let me get caught up in my notes. I've went a little bit ahead. And I thought about also this verse. It says, "Yea, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for for thou art with me. And you know, some of you, I know, have been delivered from a near-death experience because some of you are in this room, and I've prayed for you. And, you know, there's times that God has saved us from, you know, death maybe in this life that we may not even know about. And maybe God will share that with us when we get to heaven. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn of thy statutes. Return unto rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And we didn't read verse 7, but I want to read that. Verse 7. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And I'm going to read verse 8. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted." And I'm going to stop there in verse 10. So verse 7 says, "Return unto rest." And I alluded to this earlier. You know, if you're going through a trial, if there's something in your life and you don't, that rest does not come at night. You can't sleep at night. It bothers you. The psalmist says, "After I was delivered, that rest returned to me." You know, we can have peace with God if we're lost by accepting Jesus as Savior. Or we can have the peace of God, and that's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the confidence that knowing that we're God's child. So there's different types of peace in the Bible. And the psalmist here is saying, the rest that I couldn't get earlier in that crisis, in that trial, is now returned to me because God delivered me. He gave me the victory over that problem. "Oh, my soul, for the Lord had dealt bountifully with thee." I did a little study on this word bountifully, what it means. But let me read something I wrote down about what this sort of means to me. You know, the things that we're going through, the trials, God is maturing us, giving us exactly what we need, when we need it, so we can be better and not bitter over the circumstance. And that's my definition of what God does and what He's done in my life. The word bountifully comes from the Hebrew word meaning gamal. And if you look that up, it means to wean a child. And that's a strange definition of what bountifully means, to wean a child. But if we think about it and look at it a little more, it simply means that the mother's nourishment is no longer necessary. The child is free to explore new options of nourishment. And as we go through some of these things and God matures us, we're able to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is teaching us things even through these trials that we have to go through. I don't like going through them. I look back on some of the things we've been through, and I think, how did we go through that? It was only by the grace of God that we went through some of those things. And God was able to intervene, and He delivered us. So God is maturing us, and He's giving us exactly what we need when we need it. You know, I've heard people say that God will give you grace to die when you need it. I don't need that right now. I hope. I've been sick for the last 2.5 weeks, but I hope I'm not going to need that. But God will provide what we need when we need it. And the thing about it is we need to be better and not bitter over the circumstance because God is working in our life. And this applied to me. That's what it means to me. Return to thy rest, O my soul. You know, I can sleep at night. I can sleep at night. I can go to bed and not be worried. And you know, I have not been able to sleep when God convicted me of some things that I needed to do. God got me up at 2:30 during the revival and said, you know, when you remember that time long ago when you got your salvation figured out? and you called upon me for salvation. You never did go back and get baptized. You need to do that, young man. And so I did. It bothered me. I had to come up here and talk to the pastor about it. And you know, after that, it was good. And I'm thankful that God still convicts us and tells us what we need to do, that our hearts are not hardened. Verse 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." What did God do for this psalmist? He delivered his soul from death. He dried his tears. He kept his feet from falling. And there's a verse in Jude 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You know, God is working in our life. Verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." God has saved us. I will live for the Lord before this world and others. What kind of legacy will you leave when you die? And legacy is what you leave behind, what others think of you. It's the impact of your life on this world, good or bad. You know, some people's funerals do not need to be preached. They leave a godly legacy and the influence they had for Christ on the lives of others. People who knew them have a good remembrance of the impact of their life on them. Others are different. No matter what the preacher says, no matter what the preacher says about the good things at that person's funeral, the impact of their life is present and real. The negative and bad things that person did will be felt and have an impact on others long after he or she is gone. Now, I'm not talking about works for salvation here. I'm talking about after we become Christians, what kind of legacy we're going to leave our children and grandchildren. Verse 10, and I don't know if I read this one. "I believe, therefore, I have spoken, I was greatly afflicted." You'll miss this if you read it really fast. "I believe, therefore, I have spoken." What this is talking about is I will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, don't be afraid to say that God saved you. I belong to Jesus. He's my Savior. He is mine and I'm his, and I will live for him. This is the idea of not being ashamed of Christ. "I believe, therefore, I will speak." I believe, therefore, I will speak of him. How can others know what God has done unless we speak of him and tell others about what he's done in our lives? "I believe God, therefore I will speak of him. I said in my haste, all men are liars." And I didn't read this, but that's the verse. And I thought about, have we not said things on a whim or quickly and did not mean it? Has our mouth and our speech ever got us in trouble? Have we ever had regrets about what we said to someone? Maybe we're too hasty in what we said or really didn't mean it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart, it's going to come out, even when you get mad. The bad thing about speech is once it's done, it can never be undone. You know, in some computer applications, there's a little key called Control Z, and I think that's right. It's the undone key. If you deleted something, hit Control Z, and it will pop back up in the word processor. In the old days, there was something called whiteout. You remember that with typewriters? And some of the old folks may remember that. If you type something wrong, you could put some whiteout. Well, for speech, there's no whiteout. You know, when you speak, you can't take that back. And I'll have to confess this morning, I've said some things I'm sorry for. I am. I've said things that I'm sorry for. Okay, and I'm going to go on very quickly to verse 12. "What shall I render unto me to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" We're going to run out of time. This is a question that we need to think about for a long time. Render is to give back, repay, or offer God. The simple fact is we can never repay God for what he's done for us. There's nothing that we can do to ever repay God. The psalmist was delivered from death, but as he thought on it, there were many things that God had done for him. He says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits?" And benefits is a plural word. It means more than one. It was him that God had blessed. Has God blessed you today? The majority of people would say yes. What would you render to God for his goodness, mercy, and grace to you? Thanksgiving, praise, worship, prayer, obedience to his word. We can never repay the Lord. Then in verse 13, he tries to explain what he's going to do render to the Lord for his benefits. It says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." And this seems really odd, because if we try to repay somebody, we don't take. But you know, what can we give to God? God owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. There's nothing we can do for God. God has paid a tremendous cost for our salvation. So the psalmist says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." So we thank God by taking his salvation freely that's offered. That cost was so high. It cost God's son. So I give to God by taking. It sounds strange, but God is the only one who really doesn't need anything. The one true God is in need of nothing. He made the heavens and the earth. Everything here he made and is responsible for, even us. We need to take what he offers and what has been given. So if you want to say thank you to God, you need to receive his free gift. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Let's move on very quickly. Now, I know for a fact that this is before the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. For the Jews, they would celebrate Passover. And Passover is a big deal in Israel. It's a national holiday. If you go there on Passover, nobody's going to be working because they celebrate Passover. And Passover means deliverance for the Jew. And I can go into the cup and talk about that, but we're going to run out of time. We're almost out of time here. I'm going to skip down to verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, if you read this and take it out of context, one might wonder if God is pleased or defines delight in some satisfaction when his children die, but that's not the case at all. We know that the people who will be saved, some of the people that will be saved during the tribulation period, will have to die for their faith. And I just happen to believe this. It's in maybe not in the Bible, but I believe that saved people die differently than lost people. I just believe they do. It's appointed for all men to die, then the judgment. It was man who brought death for disobedience to God's word. God's plan for man was not to die, but to live forever in a perfect environment. But death came because of man's disobedience to God. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, in the book of Romans. And I just, like I said, I think saved people die differently from lost people. There's a book that I have at home. It's called Last Words of Saints and Sinners by Herbert Lockyer. And you've heard our pastor mention this guy. His name is Voltaire, the French critic, who opposed Christianity all his life. He's very critical of the Bible. And he made the prediction, 100 years from the day of my death, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquated curiosity seeker. Well, it wasn't 100 years. It was only 50 years that the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and used his printing press to print Bibles and gospel tracts. Tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. He does. Voltaire's nurse, who attended his death, and this is why I think that lost people die different than saved people. She said, for all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another infidel or a lost person die. It was bad. Voltaire's last days before his death must have been bad for his nurse to say this. Lost people, I believe, die differently. Now we contrast that to the death of the first martyr, I believe, was Stephen in the book of Acts. He was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. And he had just preached to the religious leaders a sermon, Stephen had. And Stephen says, I saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And it's interesting because, as our pastor has said, Jesus is seated most of the time at the right hand of the Father. Here he's standing. Tell me not that God's not concerned about the death of his saints. Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, for a Christian, it's like going to sleep and waking up in heaven. And that's the way it is. God does not delight in death. He often intervenes to prevent it. Psalm 72, 14 talks about this. And Jesus was standing when Stephen was martyred. There's a song, Does Jesus Care? I know he care. It was written by Frank Graff, who is reportedly have turned to God's word, 1 Peter 5, 7. After Frank's family, the death of many of his own family members, four sisters and both of his parents in a very short time, he wrote this song, Does Jesus Care? When I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. And I'm going to conclude on that. I would just say one other thing. This is good. I can just keep going. I enjoy studying the Bible. I'm not very good at preaching, but I enjoy the Word of God. Verse 17 says, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, call upon the name of the Lord, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians says. What prevents or removes our thankfulness? It's called pride. It says, I did this when we really didn't. If we'll humble ourselves and realize that we are dependent upon God. Book of Proverbs says there are six things that God hates. Seven are abomination to him. One's a proud look. The number one thing on the list is pride, a proud look. And what is an abomination to God? It's something that causes hate or disgust. In a biblical usage, abomination is something that God loathes or hates because it is offensive to him and his character. And so I want to hate the thing God hates and love the things that God loves. And so I hope maybe that I've said something this morning, be an encouragement to you. We serve a God today that will hear us. If we'll only go to him, we'll humble ourselves before him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We went just a little over. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the word of God that it will accomplish what it needs to accomplish. And I pray that you would use it to be a help and blessing to the folks that are here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray for those that are sick and could not be with us, or those that are sick and are here today, that you would just bless them and be with the speaker in the next hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.